Well, now we are going to give you a chance to meet some of our actors from Steel City Shakespeare. This is a busy time of the year for all of them, and it's a very busy weekend, so I'm glad we're here. Let's first introduce everybody, and I'll let you kind of self-introduce. And please let people know your role in the play and the community you're from, too.
Hi, my name is David Lear. I'm originally from Charlotte, North Carolina, currently live in Mount Lebanon. I'm playing the roles of Fred, the Ghost of Christmas Present, Old Joe, Peter Cratchit, and Fezziwig in Steel City's production of A Christmas Carol.
You've got a lot on your plate. When did you come to Pittsburgh?
About 2 years ago.
How's it been so far?
Oh, I love it, yeah.
I'm glad. What brought you here?
I came to work with a theater company called Throughline that some of my friends created.
Great. Well, I'm glad you made it here. And next?
I'm Susana Garcia-Barragan, and I am playing Tiny Tim, Charity Lady, Little Boy Singing, Fred's Wife, and The Christmas Yet to Come.
Excellent. And are you a native Pittsburgher?
No, I'm actually from Mexico City.
And when did you come to Pittsburgh?
About 11 years ago.
Well, great. How's it been?
Beautiful. I love it.
What brought you here?
My husband was hired by a company here, and here we are, and I fell in love with the place, and he did too, so we decided to stay.
Well, that's great. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
And we'll get your microphone fixed before our performance. Who's next?
I'm Jessica Schiermeister. I am actually the director of this year's Christmas Carol, but today I am reading in for actor Sandy Rollins, who is unavailable this morning, but we miss her, and we hope she's listening.
Excellent. It's nice to have you here. Are you from Pittsburgh originally?
I am not. I'm from Iowa.
What brought you here?
My husband, actually. He is from Pittsburgh, and it's his favorite city in the world, and he finished a PhD in astronomy in Virginia. So we moved here, and now he works at Pitt, and he loves his job, and he loves his city, and his family's here, so it's a really good arrangement for us.
Does he teach?
He doesn't. He works for the medical school. He does, I don't know what, something fancy.
Something astronomical.
He doesn't actually do astronomy right now, but yeah. He works for the medical school.
Well, that's great. Well, it's interesting. We have three people who came to Pittsburgh from three very different places. And that four. Well, I was going to say three so far. And let's now meet Michael. We know Michael, but good morning.
Good morning. I'm probably the boring one here. I'm from Pittsburgh. I haven't lived anywhere else. And I only play one part in this, and it's a part of Ebenezer Scrooge.
And we were excited because we just found out why Susanna's microphone wasn't working. Somebody's been sitting in my chair again.
Uh-oh. It wasn't me.
And you also are, you've got this great title, right? The director of...
The director of audience development.
Development.
The DAD, that makes me the dad.
Yes, the dad. And I've been doing those exercises, and I'm trying to develop as best as I can. And then finally, we've got who?
my name's Sebastian Medense. I actually just moved here from Kentucky, Lexington, Kentucky, at the end of this past July, so... Only been here a few months.
Excellent. What attracted you here?
It was my girlfriend, actually. She lived in Kentucky also, but she loved Pittsburgh, and, well, she still does, but she hadn't lived here before, but she wanted, it was her dream to move here, so she finally made that happen, and I tagged along.
I kind of like these tense kind of things, like, I loved you at first sight, and then... But then, so you probably know the play that you're going to hear Steel City Shakespeare doing. Most people know Christmas Carol. What you might not know is the great settings that you'll have a chance to experience this play. One is the Troy Hill VFW, which is going to be today at 4 o'clock. And then another is Tupelo Honey Teas in Millvale tomorrow at 4 o'clock. These are free performances, so you can enjoy them. Certainly, you can make a donation to Steel City Shakespeare. I'd like to talk more about the troupe in a moment, but we have two scenes that they're going to do. And Jessica, maybe you can tell me a bit about the first of the two scenes.
Yeah, we're going to start in Scrooge's office, and it is Christmas Eve, and his nephew Fred comes to pay him a nice little Christmas visit and is not received well, as you'll see.
"A Merry Christmas, Uncle! God save you!" cried a cheerful voice. It was the voice of Scrooge's nephew, who came upon him now so quickly that this was the first intimation Scrooge had of his approach.
"Bah! Humbug!"
He had heated himself so thoroughly with walking in the cold, this nephew of Scrooge's, that he was all aglow. His face was ruddy and handsome, his eyes sparkled, and his breath smoked again. "Christmas! A humbug, Uncle! You can't mean that, I'm sure."
"I do. Merry Christmas. What right have you to be merry? What reason have you to be merry? You're poor enough."
"Come then. What right have you to be dismal? What reason have you to be morose? You're rich enough."
Scrooge, having no better answer ready in the spur of the moment, said,
"Bah!"
and followed it with,
"Humbug!"
"Don't be cross, Uncle."
"What else can I be when I live in a world of fools such as this? Merry Christmas. Out upon Merry Christmas. What's Christmas time to you but a time for paying bills without money? If I could work my will, every idiot who goes about with Merry Christmas on his lips should be boiled with his own pudding and buried with a stake of holly through his heart, he should."
"Uncle."
"Nephew! Keep Christmas in your own way and let me keep it in mine."
"Keep it, but you don't keep it."
"Then let me leave it alone. Much good may it do you. Much good it has ever done you."
"There are many things from which I have derived good by which I have not profited, I dare say. Christmas among the rest. But I'm sure that I have always looked upon Christmas time when it comes around as the one time of the year when men and women seem by one consent to open their shut-up hearts freely and to look at people below them as if they really were fellow passengers to the grave and not another race of beings bound on separate journeys. And so, while it has put not a scrap of gold or silver in my pocket, I believe it has done me good, and it shall do me good, and I say God bless it!"
I've known Michael for a long time, and seeing him transform himself into Scrooge is something. You're almost too good in that role. I hope it wasn't typecasting. It couldn't have been. So tell us a little bit about the Shakespeare, Steel City Shakespeare itself, about the organization, how you came into being. Of course, not of course, but you probably know this is I know you know it's Dickens, but as you're listening, this is a Charles Dickens work, but you also do some great work with Shakespeare as well.
Yeah, we were founded by our artistic director, Jeffrey Chips, who had this vision of bringing a lot of classical literature to Pittsburgh, not just Shakespeare, but Shakespeare is his basis of education, and he uses that as a jumping off point. The idea is these old classic works have a universal appeal, and the fact that something lasts that long is because it still resonates with people for one reason or another. And so in this case, we wanted to use the language of Dickens. You'll notice there was narration in that. That's the way the script was altered. We started with the Dickens novel and turned it into a script. So, and we had people at recent performances tell us that I've never heard the language of Dickens before, because when you suddenly do it for film or to take it into a total stage play, you take out all that Dickensian narration. And so we've put it back in.
I noticed that, actually, and I really liked it. It just makes you feel, as an audience member, it just makes you feel very connected to the action. It's somebody's telling you a story, person to person, but then the actors are illustrating the story. So it's like having a storybook with pictures as you listen. The other thing that strikes me about Steel City Shakespeare are the locations. Last night, you were at Heathside College, or college, cottage. It'd make a nice college. It would have a, you know, a relatively small class, but Heathside Cottage in Fineview. You've done productions at the Overlook in Fineview and in parks and other unusual settings. Why?
Well, I guess in one sense, you know, we really will go anywhere that that will have us, but we try to go into communities where people don't have access to theater. And, you know, you're not seeing, you know, a big production at the O'Reilly or the Benedum or something. We're very bare bones. We don't have a lot of props. We don't have a lot of costume changes. Somebody might put on a hat or a scarf, but that's the extent of it. And so we look for unusual places so that the neighborhood can say, oh, there's something exciting going on here. We're going to check this out. And for the most part, that's worked really well. We've been well received. I can't – when we did Sinbad this fall in Fineview at the Overlook, it was amazing the neighbors that just thanked us for bringing it to the community. And so that's what we're aiming to do.
Yeah, it harkens back, I think, too, to actors going from town to town to bring theater to individual communities with what would be at hand to provide a performance.
And in this case, I mean, we're doing, as you heard all the parts everyone's playing, we're doing this whole show with a cast of five.
Wow. How many parts are covered by five? Is it over 20?
Oh,
you
don't
need
to count.
Probably close.
It's probably about 20.
Yeah, yeah. And we cut, I mean, I cut a few little things out where someone might have like one line. We cut that character, but we can meld characters together to a couple of instances. But we've got, you know, the all-star characters, Tiny Tim, Bob Cratchit, Scrooge.
Just the all-star. Yeah, we cut Scrooge.
We don't need Scrooge. He's not important to this story, actually.
Well, Michael has played Scrooge for many years, and you're probably going to take a break after this year, you were telling me, because it's a lot to do that.
It's a lot of work, and, you know, it's a busy time of year for us, as you say, and now that Jessica has taken over direction, I think I'd like to let her cast her own Scrooge.
Yeah, so if you're listening and you're interested in playing Scrooge next year,
might be nice to have one
today at 4.
Follow Steel City Shakespeare and find out when auditions are.
Yeah, might be nice to have a woman as Scrooge.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
It'd be very interesting, actually. This also would be a great play, I think, for kids. If so, you can bring family members. One of the nice things about the settings that Steel City Shakespeare's plays are in is they really are very welcoming and open. And while it's great to see a play in a huge theater that with a lot of expensive, you know, production techniques, etc., it tends to mean that if you're a child and maybe moving around a little bit, folks might be saying, stop that, because they invested a lot in the seat that they're sitting in. Here, you've got a much less formal setting, right?
Yeah, so we had a reviewer comment that, you know, when she came to the show, there were several children there, many of them with bags of candy because we have a little concession stand. And she thought, kids sitting in hard chairs with bags of candy, this isn't going to go well. But then she pointed out that children sat transfixed and were really caught up in the story.
Yeah, it's so intimate. Let's mention before your final scene that you're going to do, that the play will be at the Troy Hill VFW. That's on the north side, and that's today at 4 o'clock. And then tomorrow at Tupelo Honey Teas in Millvale, that's also at 4 o'clock. And I think the website is probably the best place to go, steelcityshakespeare.org?
.com.
I'll double check that. steelcityshakespeare.org. If you Google Steel City Shakespeare, you'll find it. I'll double check that just the same. What is this scene that we're about to hear?
This scene is the first scene with the Cratchit family. So we meet, we've already met Bob Cratchit in the opening in Scrooge's office and see that Scrooge is not very kind to his only employee. But now we see Bob go home to his family and we get to see him interact with them happily, and it's just a, it's a pleasant little scene. What has ever got your precious father, then? And no. Your brother, Tiny Tim?
No, there's father coming.
In came Bob, the father, his threadbare clothes darned up and brushed to look seasonable.
And Tiny Tim upon his shoulders. Alas for Tiny Tim, he bore a little crutch and had his limbs supported by an iron frame.
And how did little Tim behave?
As good as gold and better. Somehow he gets thoughtful sitting by himself so much and thinks the strangest things you ever heard. He told me coming home, but he hoped the people saw him in a church, and it might be pleasant of them to remember upon Christmas Day who made lame beggars walk and blind men see. He's growing so strong and hearty, that one.
Dinner, bring up the goose, mother.
Such a bustle ensued that you might have thought a goose the rarest of all birds, a feathered phenomenon to which a black swan was a matter of course. And in truth, it was something very like it in that house. Mrs. Cratchit made the gravy, ready beforehand in a little saucepan, hissing hot. At last the dishes were set on, and grace was said. It was succeeded by a breathless pause as Mrs. Cratchit, looking slowly all along the carving knife, prepared to plunge it in the breast. And when she did, when the long-expected gush of stuffing issued forth, one murmur of delight arose all around the board. And even Tiny Tim beat on the table with the handle of his knife and feebly cried,
"Hurrah!"
There never was such a goose.
A Merry Christmas to us all, my dears. God bless us.
God bless us, everyone.
He sat very close to his father's side upon his little stool. Bob held his withered little hand in his, as he loved the child, and wished to keep him by his side, and dreaded that he might be taken from him.
Spirit, tell me if Tiny Tim will live.
I see a vacant seat and a crutch without an owner carefully preserved. If these shadows remain unaltered by the future, the child will die.
No, oh, kind spirit, no, say he will be spared.
If these shadows remain unaltered by the future, none other of my race will find him here. But what then? If he be like to die, he had better do it, and decrease the surplus population. Oh, man, if man you be at heart, forbear that wicked cant, until you know what the surplus is and where it is. Will you decide what men shall live, what men shall die? It may be that you are more worthless and less fit to live than millions, like this poor man's child.
Mr. Scrooge, I'll give you Mr. Scrooge, the founder of the feast.
The founder of the feast, indeed. I wish I had him here. I'd give him a piece of my mind to feast upon, and I hope he'd have a good appetite for it.
My dear, the children, Christmas Day.
It should be Christmas Day, I am sure, on which one drinks the health of such an odious, stingy, hard, unfeeling man as Mr. Scrooge. You know he is, Robert. Nobody knows it better than you do, poor fellow.
My dear, Christmas Day.
I'll drink his health for your sake, and the day's, but not for his. Long life to him, a Merry Christmas, and a Happy New Year. He'll be very merry and very happy, I have no doubt.